Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everyone, well, I am so enjoying this series. This is the third part in a series on Psalm 84, one of the greatest pastoral psalms I know of. Great pastoral preaching for a leader of a church to bring to his congregation, for connect group leaders to use with their connect groups, Bible college lecturers to train their students with. Psalm 84 is one of the greats. We're in the third session on this. If you haven't listened to the previous two, please get a hold of them. Psalm 84, the first one, the second one, and we finished at verse 8. So we're starting this third session on verse 9. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. It's an interesting thing. Some people believe that's a prayer to God for David, the king, who is considered their shield. Spurgeon, who has written in his Treasury on David, look, I've just got to say on the way through, Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David in regards to the Psalms, three volumes, is the best for studying the Psalms as a companion in your Bible study. You will couldn't go wrong studying his own exposition on it and then the homilies that he gets from other writers. It is a fantastic read. But he is saying that, O God, behold our shield. He was talking about Jesus Christ in that. And whatever it is talking about a protection that comes from God, our shield. And if it is David the king, then it's understood that who is at the top is acting like a shield for those who are under them. And that is true in the church. You'll find that an overseer has a covering for those people of God in that congregation. And that covering protects those people, brings blessing on them, actually guides them into blessing. And they find themselves in that place of submission, if you like, or being under the covering of a particular ministry. They become influenced by the Spirit, the anointing, and what is on that leader. And I've seen people rise way beyond their own capacities and even what you might have considered their potential simply because they were under a covering that developed their potential, that maximized them, that took them further than they ever would have on their own. I've also seen the opposite, that when people think, oh, you know, I can do quite well on my own, independently of anybody else, and wandered off, that even though they had great potential, it didn't get anywhere near realized. And so he is saying, the Lord, God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. So they are praying that God would look after their leader. God would look after those that were there to guide them. And this is so important that we pray for our pastors, that we pray for our leaders. They face a lot of challenges. Now, I find it is so easy in a day of social media for people to have strong opinions, criticisms, gossip, anything that's negative about leaders. And they will blast away anonymously many times at leaders who have got a tough job as it is. Don't make your leader's job harder than it already is. It's unprofitable for you. The Bible says that. Let them lead you with joy. Let them gain pleasure out of the delight of leading a team of people who work together, are in harmony, who build the church, who are strong, who avoid the disputes, the conflicts and the strife, who are not going to always be talking about the problems or causing problems, but who are answers, solutions, and they build the church, not tear it down. And I'm believing that in this hour, you and I will be exactly those kind of people who bless the leadership. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's interesting, right? Look, if if you or I would rather be at some rowdy rave club or at a strip club or at a bar or hanging out in some debauched situation, if we'd rather that than be in church, that should ring alarm bells for us. We need revival. We need spiritual renewal. Something's gone wrong when our delight is in the pleasure of the world instead of in the house of God and in the Word of God and in the things of God. A pure heart longs for Christ. When we get unclean, we're hungry for the other stuff. And listen, we're humans. I've been pastoring for over 50 years. I'm well aware that Christians face all these temptations, these slidings and these driftings back into darkness and into uncleanness. And that comes naturally. What you've got to do is be committed to the pilgrimage, as they were in this scripture, to keep moving towards the right place, the right ways. If we do stumble, we just got to repent, come right with God, and we'll be back on track. And so he is saying, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper, you know, a person on the door. If you haven't tried that yet, put your hand up as a volunteer in your church. Be a doorkeeper for one weekend, or for three, or for a year. And learn how to shake people's hand, welcome them to the house of God, help them find where the restroom is, help them with the car park, help them with their kids, getting them off to children's church. Help people in that, rather that than be anywhere else. Our preferences reveal our priorities. It reveals our value system. If I prefer to be that, a servant in the house of God, welcoming people, shaking hands, helping them with just being in church, rather than being in that out in the world thing, rowdy parties and whatever else. When I'd rather that, some consider that a lowly position. I consider it a highly privileged position to just be on the threshold of the house of God, welcoming people. Then when I've got that mindset, I'd rather that than that, then I'm showing that my heart is in the right place. And he is saying, one day in your courts, it's better than 1,000 out there. These Israelites made this pilgrimage three times a year. There were three national feasts that they had to travel all the way from their farms and their crops and their herds and their flocks and come down to Jerusalem with offerings to worship the Lord. And they had to make it it says earlier in the psalm, they set their heart on this pilgrimage, because inevitably they're going to face robbers, they're going to face valleys, they're going to face searing heat and maybe very cold nights. And they've got to travel through this. And it could be easy sometimes when it's just rain maybe. And they go, oh, I'm going to turn back. I'm going back to the farm. Maybe next year I'll come down. But they said, no, my heart is set on this pilgrimage. And so they knew also that if they can get one day in the house of God, it's going to be a better than 1,000 down at the farm. Why? Because in the presence of God, creative ideas come to us. God talks to us. The Holy Spirit can guide us. David said, one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire at his temple. The Israelites found when they came into the house of God, they would get guidance. They could inquire. They could say, God, what will I do? God, show me what you want. And there would be prophets there. There were priests there. And just by the presence of God or through the ministers of God, they would get guidance. Let me tell you this, thinking that if I work, and I work through Sundays, don't bother with church, work, just, you know, say a little prayer every now and then, rather than actually coming aside and setting time in the house of God, when you're in that worshipful place and you've sacrificed what you could be doing for the house of God, suddenly one idea that he could give you could transform everything you're doing. Transform everything. One small idea. I have known so many business people, especially real estate salespeople, who Sunday's the best day for selling stuff, who've just said, I'm going to church. Maybe they work in the afternoon, but they set aside time to be in the house of God. Some of the most successful real estate salespeople have been in our church in the entire nation. And yet they have honored God on that particular day. I know business people who have had visions of machinery, of a universal joint, of a particular electrical wiring. They've seen, and God has given them a divine idea that has revolutionized their particular business, their particular strategies for how they're going to form their team. It is important to set aside time to be in the house of God. So, just a bit of preaching there, people. I'm in a devotional mode, so we're teaching as we travel through the scripture. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How good is this? I love this psalm. The Lord God is a sun. Beautiful. The sun gives life. You knock the sun out, you got nothing on planet Earth. Frozen, solid. There's no oxygen. There's no plant life. Photosynthesis isn't happening. You can't even get a tan, people. I mean, the sun is going to bless your whole life. Not only through giving energy, but it gives light. You can see where you're going. You know what next step. In the dark, you move hardly at all. You walk very slowly, especially in pitch black, trying to traverse the ground and terrain and steps and anything. You're feeling with your feet. You need a torch, and you're nervous about people who are unscrupulous, hiding in the bushes or whatever. Darkness is not a good thing. But the sun shines. You're confident. Everything's colorful. You can see where you're going. It's clear. And the sun is warm. The Lord God is warm. If you've got a cold God, you got the wrong one. You got the other guy. God is not chilly. He is warm. He is loving. How good is it when you've been in winter and then summer comes and the sun shines? I just stand there. Sometimes on the beach or on our front balcony and the sun is pouring down, just to feel it coming on your skin, the vitamin D, the energy, it's great. The old Italian proverb that where the sun goes, the doctor doesn't, because he doesn't need to. The sun itself has, it's like health to your body. The Lord God, he's a sun and a shield. We talked about that earlier. He is a protector. He covers us from all the fiery darts of the evil one. And we get covering. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is elegance, empowerment, ability, gifting. God gives that to us, unmerited, just because he loves us. You can't do anything to deserve God's favor. It's his initiation. He initiates it because of his love for you. When he looks at you, he looks through lenses of love and just wants to bless you and favor you. You know, with your own children, if it's other people's children, boy, they got problems. With your kids, oh, well, they're okay. You know, it's just a little thing. I mean, God's favor is a million times that he just pours grace on his children, on you. His love for you is endless. It is inexhaustible. He will love you through every situation. And he says he gives grace and glory. He gives you credit. He makes you look better than you are. We talked about that in, I think, the series two of this series. He will give you glory. People will think you're great in this area, in that area. Make sure that you don't just take it. Make sure you shift it back to him. Say, it's the Lord. Because it's saying here, it's the Lord who gives you that glory. Then he says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I mean, how good is that? There's not a good thing. God's going to withhold from you. You say, Lord, can I pray that this will happen. There's some teaching that is like God is stingy or he's strict and he's not going to give you anything that you don't need. Anything above what you need is greed. Just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's good theology, people. It's and greed's not good. I understand that. But there are desires in life. I mean, do we need giraffes? Why did God make giraffes? We don't need them. Nobody can ride them. They don't pull anything. You don't have giraffe burgers or anything. They're just there. God is extravagant, people, abundant. Did Peter need to walk on water? There's no need for it. What a waste of supernatural power that was. But no, it was fun. Just fun. There's hardly another reason why he was walking on water, people. It's like you've got to get a view of God that's outside of just the severe, furrowed-browed person in the sky who's withholding. He doesn't withhold anything. That no good thing will he withhold from you who walk uprightly. Walk uprightly in life. I think that's a good physical piece of advice. Straighten your spine, pull your shoulders back, don't slouch, because you just feel better, breathe better, walk better, feel fitter when you have an upright walk. Straighten your spine, pull in your stomach, lift up your shoulders, all that. You know, but take it to your moral standing and your mental standing, your emotional standing. Stand up in those areas. Be upright in those areas. Don't be bowing down to evil. Don't be bowing down to unclean things. Stay upright. It says when God led the Israelites out of Egypt, they walked out uprightly. How good is that? These were people who were slaves all their life, like this. Whip, whip, whip. But as soon as they were set free, they stood upright. They walked out like kings. They walked out like royalty, set free by the hand of God. The last verse that we're going to look at is, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You know, every time those Israelites had to leave their farm and go to Jerusalem, there was a big amount of trust they had to put in God to look after their farm. In fact, in the law, God wrote, I will look after your farms while you go down to worship me. And I read one scholar who said there's not one record in history of their farms being ravaged while they were away worshiping God. So from all over Israel, the families and the farms, and you read about it when Jesus went down to the temple and was with all these family members and cousins and uncles and aunties, and they lost Jesus in the crowd for 3 days, for goodness sake. So they would travel as big crowds, all come together, all the farmers, and they would sing songs together and walk the journey as pilgrims going to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts of the Lord. But they had to leave their farms, maybe in the hands of a few servants. So they were vulnerable. Guys, when Sunday comes around each week, when church life, Connect Group, we can be thinking, well, I need to be there all day working at the car yard, selling those cars. I can sell some insurance policies. I can sell some houses. I got so much work to do at tax time. I've got to work all through the Sunday. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. Worship Him, spend the time in His house, glorifying Him, and you will find you'll be protected, but not only that, you'll not just survive, you'll thrive. The blessing of you being in the house will travel all the way to your farm, to your business, to your family. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. That blessing is going to fall on the people who trust Him in a very real way. God bless you. Trust you've enjoyed this exposition, this devotional on Psalm 84. Lord, I pray for your blessing to rest on all of us as we honor you in your house each week, and we glorify you and make that pilgrimage to the house of God a priority. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.